I'm doing really good. And believe it or not, after all the interviews that I've done, you're only the third female vocalist to make it, or third artist.
Are you serious?
Yeah. Yeah, you are, like, in that elite group that, you know, it's like, I've had Doro on twice. I've had Lita once, but, God, that's been, like, forever ago. And then I had a female drummer out of Spain.
Oh, wow. That's an honor. Thank you so much for having me. That is really cool. Thank you.
Now, this actually was kind of a short notice interview, so that we really didn't get a lot of promotions time behind it, but you have a very large gig coming up on Friday night.
Yes, Friday, May 20th, I'm opening for Lita Ford at the Canyon Club here in Agoura Hills, in Los Angeles, of course. And I'm very much looking forward to it. It's going to be a great gig, and, you know, can't wait to see Lita rock it, so that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, now, how did you come up with the name Electra?
Well, that is my real name. I'm actually Greek. Yeah.
Wow.
That is my name. I'm Greek, so it's actually my grandmother's name. And in Greece, we have the tradition that the kids have to take after their grandparents' names. And I was fortunate enough for my grandmother to be named Electra, and then I took over. So now that is my real name.
Now, I had a couple of questions that came in real quick as soon as I posted the interview. Who wrote and collaborated on The Problem Child? Now, I know that's the video that you are pushing really hard right now.
Yes, we just got done with a music video for it. The writers are actually, the main writers for my whole project is Highland Church. He is primarily the person who writes all the music, and then Mickey Kravitz from Harlow, actually, both of them, Mickey Kravitz and Highland Church, are in a band called Harlow still. They had this one hit called Rock the Box back in the 80s. I don't know if you ever had heard of it. They're originally from Kansas City, Missouri. And they've grown up together and moved out here in L.A., and I met Mickey Kravitz, and then through him met Highland. And back to the music, Highland writes the music, Mickey writes the lyrics, and I collaborate with Mickey on the lyrics as well. So Problem Child was written by all three of us. And yeah, the music video was an amazing production. We shot it in February, and we teamed up with Chipotle Films director Jose Marcelino Ortez. And the song is about basically standing up for who you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what ethnicity you are, what turns you on, and just standing up for I am who I am, so let me be. So we had a cast over 100 people. Among them, there were obviously regularly looking people, and we had people that were fully tatted, fully pierced, mohawks, afros. We had drag queens. We had everything, and bikers, and everybody was just there to give their heart out and just stand up for who they are. And the seriously, the production was so amazing. We had such a great time. Everybody just loved it, and the energy that was in the room was just unbelievable. Till this day, I'm constantly getting emails from everybody of what a great time they had that day, and so it really means a lot.
Now, I was on your site this morning, and I also seen the classical stuff. How did you manage, you know, it's not a real big secret that a lot of musicians out there do, prior to a show, they'll do some opera type stuff to kind of help stretch their and exercise their vocal cords and whatnot. But how did you manage to stick and stay, not just in rock and pop, how did you also manage to do transition either way? Because it seemed to be a very fluid motion for you.
Yeah. Well, my heart was always into the rock stuff and the pop stuff, and but ever since a little kid, I was always involved in classical settings. I'm a classically trained piano player. I was a member of so many choirs and did quite a few productions in Greece as well, because I did grow up there, by the way. And I went to a musical high school in Greece, which half our day was dedicated to music studies. So my primary foundation was always classical music, and started in Greece. Then when I moved out here, I wanted to continue my music studies, and I attended Cal State Northridge, where I got my bachelor's. I had an audition, actually, in order to get your bachelor's, basically, here, you have two options. It's either you get your bachelor's in jazz studies or classical. And because I really wanted to focus on the voice, and I love classical music as well, I decided to just go the classical route, and I auditioned to go to CSUN, UCLA, and CalArts, and got admitted to all three, yay me. but then ended up choosing CSUN because of various reasons. It was close, it was the cheapest, and the program didn't look that bad. So, and it really did turn out to be an amazing program, and loved it. So anyway, so then, yeah, got my opera education there, became a classical singer, did tons of productions, and at the same time, though, never gave up on my rock pop career either. And I was taking lessons from like two different teachers, my classical teacher and my rock pop teacher. My classical teacher never knew that I was taking lessons from my rock pop voice, because those two don't mesh together according to that world. So anyways, but till this day, I'm able to fluently grab either style and just go for it. So, and I gave a little taste on the music video for Problem Child in the beginning. Which actually, what I'm saying is, remember the operatic part in the beginning of the video?
Yep.
Yeah, so what I'm saying is, io sono quel che sono, lasciatemi stare, and it's Italian, and I'm saying, I am who I am, so let me be. So it was actually Mickey Kravitz, he had the idea of doing that, and I had a friend, Italian friend here, Daniel, and I asked him how to say that in Italian. He gave it to me. And then I just put a melody to it, and that was our creative idea for the moment.
Now, how did you, I noticed on your site, you've played at some really cool places, Whiskey A Go-Go, the Canyon Club. Looks like you've been to the Canyon, or to the Whiskey A Go-Go a lot, actually.
Yeah, we've had some great times there at the Whiskey, and they love us, and we love them, and we've been there many times. We just had a gig. We actually, our music video release show was there last month. And, yeah, but we've been everywhere. We've been at the Viper Room. We've been at the Roxy, Key Club, all the clubs on Sunset Strip, on Sunset Strip, sorry, for a second. And Canyon Club, we were there again last year, actually, and now again, our year anniversary, I guess, back in there this Friday. But last year, we were there opening for Wild Child, which was a Doors tribute band. I don't know if you've heard of them. But, we were there last year again. And then another big gig that's coming up for us, another big gig that's coming up for us is the Sunset Strip Music Festival this year. So, but unfortunately, I can't give too much information because they're not letting me yet. So that's all I can tell you.
Now, you've also, you've done a couple of soundtracks for movies as well?
Yeah, I've worked on some independent films. They really like using my classical voice in those films. And one of them was you know, you probably remember the names better than I do at this point. Impress Vampire or something like that. I actually have not seen that film yet, believe it or not. I have no clue what happened. I know that it went to festivals, and yet I did miss the premiere party, so that was bad from my side, and that's why I haven't even seen the movie yet. But I did the soundtrack for them. I did the soundtrack for Kelton's Dark Corner trilogy, one quite interesting movie. And yeah, just to try to work on as many projects as possible.
Because I noticed that, and actually I have seen that Empress Vampire. I have.
Oh my God, where did you find it? I'm not joking, where did you find that movie?
Actually, after I had talked to you on Facebook, I went to the Netflix and got it through Netflix.
No way.
Yeah.
Oh God, was it any good?
I've got to watch about 45 minutes of it because, like you, the musicians, they never get a break, and neither do the DJs, really. You know, it's always something going on.
Yeah.
It's never ending, and it just seems like anything that I touch, it's like race, 7 days a week, and so that's kind of one of the reasons why I hit you at what would have been like at middle of the night for me, because it was like 3 o'clock my time in the morning.
I know, and I'm awake all night till like 3 o'clock in the morning myself, just promoting and doing whatever I can do at the times that nobody will bother me with phone calls or work or anything.
Now, what is one of the... Now, certainly opening for Lita is a big, big deal in that. Now, is Lita the biggest name that you've opened for to this point?
No, actually. Last year, I was part of the Sunset Strip Music Festival again, and on that bill, I was with Slash, I was with Smashing Pumpkins, the Korn, Neon Trees, Steel Panther. Yeah, that was an amazing time. And again, this year, the Sunset Strip Music Festival is coming up. So, and then I had another gig at Club Nokia last May and I opened for a very famous Greek artist, though. His name is Adoni Remus, and he's huge in Greece. So he came down here, and I opened for him. But obviously here in L.A., nobody knows, nobody knows him other than the Greeks. But, yeah, I should say, I've opened for Steven Adler. So, I mean, all those were the biggest names I've opened for.
Now, who would you say, as far as in the rock genre, who would you say were your biggest influences growing up?
Growing up? Well, I've always loved Led Zeppelin. Pat Benatar, Heart. I think the Beatles, Guns N' Roses, those have been my biggest influences, and I just love their music, love their talent, everything about him, I still listen to them all the time. With my band, we occasionally cover some Led Zeppelin tunes. But I grew up in such a diverse household in terms of music. My dad listening to Toto and jazz music all the time, yet working, you know, my dad is a bass player, and he's actually my bass player in my band. I don't know if you saw that.
I was going to say, that was going to be one of the questions that I was going to ask, because I watched all of the YouTube videos and whatnot, and in one of the videos, you said, "This is my dad, our bass player."
Yeah.
and I was like, how, that's got to be a big relief, but also that has to be a little bit more pressure on you, knowing that your father is still not only very integral in your career, but also that you're around family all the time. Do you find that adds a little bit more stress?
Listen, both my parents are really cool, and I could not complain. My mom is very supportive, my biggest fan. My dad is like not a regular kind of dad. He's a rocker. He's really crazy, really fun to hang out with, actually. And he's a kick-ass bass player. So I don't mind having him in the band. And in all honesty, I mean, it is somewhat like you said. However, I do feel very good having him, because I know that there's a solid, you know how often bands break up, and how hard it is to keep a band together. And I know my bass player is not going anywhere, so that's a solid member there for life. But other than that, I'm playing. But I have no complaints. It is a lot of time with my family, but you know what? We only live once, and life is too short, and if I can, I don't mind spending every minute with them, because, you know, one day you lose the people you love, and then you regret not spending a lot of time with them. So as much as time as I can get, I'll take it.
Okay, now, when did you actually start with doing your shows in that live, either classical or rock? How long ago did you actually start performing?
Oh, Lord. If I tell you forever, will you believe me? So my dad, back to my dad. My dad played with, like I said, we lived in Greece for many years, and my dad basically worked with every single famous artist there is in Greece. And having done that, I grew up in that setting, and basically grew up in tour buses. So I became very close with a lot of those artists, and they would, starting at the age of 8, I guess, I would start performing, because that's when I started, I became a member of quite a few choirs. I was in the musical school, I was doing piano, and at the same time was joining on the tours that my dad was going to, and the singers would get me up on stage, and I would sing a couple songs with them. And we're talking about huge arenas. I mean, it was more. I performed when I was 10 years old in front of more people than I've performed here at this time in my life. So I've always been in that setting. Just basically have shifted music. Kind of styles of music, excuse me. So, but I guess I was always involved with both, I have to say. I just realized that, having the choirs and having my dad, and then back here doing the classical stuff and doing the rock stuff. But with my current band, actually, we've only been together a little bit over, well, okay, Highland Church, the guitar player, and my dad, again, have been the most solid members throughout this whole project, which started 2 years ago. And then we just recently got our new drummer, who's Matt Forsyth, and our new piano player, which is Brian McConnell. So with this band, this will be our second gig, actually, together.
Okay, now, where did you get your passion and drive, but yet that same, not to sound nostalgic, but kind of like that Nirvana, come as you are, I accept you as you are. How did you come into adopting that life?
Well, I don't like fake people. I don't like the idea of having to fit in a certain way, and in order for people to accept you, to treat you right. Every person has the right to live their life the way they want it. And I've been surrounded by many types of people. And, even the transitions of me going from one country to the other have been quite a challenge for me as well. When I went to Greece, I was always treated as, oh, here's the American girl, whether some people liked it and some people didn't like it. And I would be made fun of, for example, in high school sometimes because of the way I would dress, I guess, which was not really that crazy. Actually, wasn't crazy at all, but it was, I guess, trendy. I don't know. But they would just make fun of me. I was like, oh, here's a little American girl who's dressing weird or whatever. And I was never the type of person that, I'm never a follower, and I don't ever try to do something to fit in. I don't do drugs to look cool. I've never smoked in my life to look cool. I don't care about any of that. And I know a lot of my friends and that have been down that road because they had to. They felt the need that in order to be accepted by society or by their cool group of friends, they had to do drugs and all that. So basically, again, I've always just stood up for who I was. I never tried to mimic, copy, follow anything. This is who I am, and if you like me, you like me, and that's great. If not, then guess what? We're not meant to hang out or be together. And here in LA again, based on experience of what I've seen around me and life is too short and you should just do what you want to do. There's no need for faking it.
And that was one of the things when I was reading in your bios on Facebook and then off your site and that because you are so you've been around the world and you've been able to experience different cultures that a lot of people don't get to deal with or
right.
get to experience, so kudos to you on that. I've got a couple other interviews coming up in the future that has that same standpoint of accepting everybody for who they are. So this really is exciting on so many different levels.
Yes, I agree.
Now, what would you say? This is the comedy point of the interview.
Okay.
Now with in an interview or a show, doing a gig, what is the funniest thing that you've had happen?
Oh, Lord. Okay. Are you ready for this one? So if you watch one of my videos on YouTube, we did a Christmas show, which was actually my CD release show, if I remember correctly, for my EP, Problem Child. And it was in December of 2009. Wow, that it seems like it was yesterday, yet it wasn't. Okay, but anyways, December 2009, I was at the Whiskey A Go-Go, and it was our CD release show. And it was Christmas time. It was like December 19th or something. And due to the spirit of the holidays, I had the idea of, hey, why don't we do like a Christmas song and turn it into rock and just kind of surprise people? And why not actually get a big bag of white balloons that we can throw from the ceiling down as if it's snowing while playing a version of White Christmas completely rocked out. If you go on my videos, you are going to see that part. It's one of those videos, the seven series that my good friend Joe Anastasia, he actually, from BAM Productions, he actually is the one who filmed all that. But anyways, so it seemed like a great idea. I really did. We bought this huge bag. It cost like $100 that fits like over 100 balloons.
No, it's like...
Oh, 600 balloons. She's correct. Mickey's right here correcting me.
Hi, Mickey.
Hey, how
are you, man? Oh, we're Joker's tuned in. He's listening.
So we had this huge bag. So we had sound check, and we actually that night we were opening for an artist called Medusa. She's kind of a rapper. She's done quite a few things. Anyways, and Mickey's, we're blowing these balloons. We had because we couldn't put, helium, obviously. They would stay up, so we had to blow them with our own mouths. So we're blowing over 100 balloons, or six, I don't know, yeah, like a lot of balloons, 200, 300 balloons in there. All of us, the whole crew, all of us are blowing balloons. The other bands are just watching us. This is during soundcheck. And we're trying to get this big bag up, hooked up in the ceiling somehow so we can throw these balloons. Long story short, we get it hooked up. During the show, during White Christmas, Mickey, along with one of our crew members, were supposed to go up there and release the bag. So the balloons fall. And as I'm singing White Christmas, I can see Mickey battling, we're talking war, with this bag because he could not open the bag to get these balloons out. The bag, something happened, the hook, something happened with the hook, and he was ripping the bag apart like it was, you don't understand, it was the funniest thing ever. And the balloons wouldn't fall. So one by one, the balloons were falling. It was a disaster. I could not, like, I was ready to just fall on the floor and laugh. And of course, suddenly people started taking notice of it because they could hear, it was, you couldn't just ignore the fact that somebody is just banging this bag, trying to rip it and get these balloons out with all his whole, all the strength that he had at that point moment. And, one balloon at a time falling from the ceiling. Quite fun.
My sound, I gotta give kudos to my sound man because the poor guy, he loves your attitude, Electra. Oh, yeah. And that, but the kind of feel sorry for him because he's doing recording off out of the studio, and he can't laugh. And I think this is the point of the interview that he dreads the most because he has to be quiet to do it. So I got to give him, really feel sorry for him. And also, Mickey Joker says hi, as well as Hunter. Got several people in the chat room as well. And everybody is definitely, I can definitely see that balloon fiasco, I think you could call it.
You got to go watch it. I think it must be the last one. Yeah, it must be part 7 of that whole series. It's on under my favorites on my YouTube channel. But it is. You won't see Mickey battling the bag, but you will see the balloons little by little falling.
And your expression.
And my expression, really?
What are you doing?
I don't remember my expression, but I do know what I was thinking inside me. I was just laughing. It was hilarious. Yeah. Oh, or the other thing that just happened recently, actually, the tambourine. Get this. We throw tambourines on every show. It's like we have the whole audience participate, and I get these tambourines, and I put my logo sticker on them. So we throw them, and when everybody's just playing the tambourine towards the end of the set. And this last show, we had tambourines. You know, we Mickey and I are actually the promoting machine behind this whole project, and we're the ones working for trying to accomplish everything and trying to get everything together. So sometimes there's a lot to think about, a lot going on, as you know. And we had these tambourines, so we put them in the bag. We're going to the gig. Time comes. I open the bag. And what do I see? These tambourines are completely brand new tambourines wrapped in their gelatin paper that has not been removed with no stickers on them. So we had to unwrap these tambourines as I'm singing the freaking song and throw it out to the audience, completely defeated the purpose of promoting myself because it had no sticker on them. So that was another little stupid disaster that came up. But yeah,
I could almost envision me being in the general vicinity and not paying attention and catch one in the forehead.
Yeah. Oh, trust me, I've thrown it many times up in the air, and it was without really realizing it's going to heads. Everybody's, but all you can see is like this funny little part of the crowd just kind of spreading apart so they don't get hit. But now we're a little bit more careful, you know, with experience. We get to learn how to throw things, I guess.
Reminds me of I was at a concert, and they used a T-shirt cannon.
Yeah.
Wasn't paying any mind. I was more busy watching the guitarist go through some theatrics.
Hello?
And yep, I'm still here. Lecter? I think I hear you guys.
Oh,
yes. Yeah. That's weird. Anyhow, the guitarist was going through their motions, wasn't really paying much attention, caught a T-shirt wrapped up tight in a ball. Felt like a softball hitting me in the forehead.
Oh, my God.
I got the T-shirt.
Wow. Well, that's all that matters, right? That's all that matters. Yeah, have you seen a YouTube video with that watermelon from a
big slingshot?
Oh, yeah, but what show was that? It was a reality show, like Biggest Loser, I don't know, whatever. They were doing a workout, and with a slingshot, they were trying to catch these watermelons. I'm not sure exactly, but anyways, this watermelon came right into this girl's face. It was the most disturbing thing ever. You got to watch it. But that's what it reminded me of. Sorry. At least yours was not a watermelon.
No, this one actually hurt more, I think.
Oh, really? Shoot.
Now, how can you got the interview, or the interview, hello, where's my brain? You've got the show coming up at the Canyon Club on Friday night. How can they go about getting tickets and all that other good stuff?
Okay, well, yeah, it's Friday night. I go on at exactly 8 o'clock, and right after me is Lita. Tickets are available at the door. They're also available on Ticketmaster. And if you are local, they are available. Discount tickets are available through me. So I don't have a lot left, but definitely can hook up with anybody that would want some. So they can contact me either through Facebook, find me through you. But basically, Electra Barrocos is the way you can find me on Facebook. And or you can go to my website, electrabarrocos.com, and go to my email and contact me in regards to that. So I can hook some people up with that. Otherwise, like I said, Ticketmaster or the door.
Now, are you planning to maybe invade the East Coast at some time this year?
It's only a matter of time. We would love to. We actually are definitely right now talking about starting a tour, perhaps, hopefully, after, we're doing a show in Vegas in October. It's called the Zombie Fest, and it's a festival supporting the troops, and there's going to be tons of bands. Again, nothing officially has been released in terms of the full lineup, but I believe in among the bill is actually, Mickey's right now correcting me that we don't know. So I'm not going to spread the rumors because I probably may be wrong. So I'm not going to say anything. But anyways, I'm on the bill. That's all that matters. So anyway.
Hey, that's right. That's right. Now, Mickey.
Yeah.
Since we got Mickey here, what is the funniest moment you've had in your long music career?
Ooh.
Oh, man, why are you going to put me on the spot, man? Oh, man. Really? I don't know. Somebody help me. Is anybody out there that can remember anything?
Yeah, I do. The time you said you fell off stage.
Oh, I've fallen off every stage in Hollywood, drunk at some point. I was playing this, I don't know if anybody out there is familiar with Coconut Teaser. I mean, I played the whiskey almost every Monday night in another band. It wasn't Harlow, it was actually another band, Baby Strange. We played there almost every Monday night for a year, but I fell off that stage a few times because they would always give us a lot of free beer. But I was playing Coconut Teaser once, and the stage is only a foot tall. And I'm singing, and I got wrapped around a cord, and I slipped and tripped and slid. Obviously, I slid on the off the stage on the floor on my stomach like I was on a slip and slide or something, like probably 7-8 feet down the middle of the floor. And the mic kept going all the way down and hit the bar, and I'm just laying there, and I just kind of look up, and there's like this, I don't know, really hot model-like chick sitting at a table with her arms crossed just looking at me like, you are the stupidest idiot I've ever seen in my life.
Oh, my God. Okay, that definitely is going to go... That. Mickey, I'm going to have to get you on my show one of these days. I got a feeling that there's a long story there.
I got something. Let me tell you this one story that involved Elektra, too. All right.
It did.
Harlow did Rocklahoma a couple years ago. They asked us to come and play Rocklahoma a couple years ago. We did a new record and everything, and Elektra came. She was doing backups for us. So we get to we're at the hotel, and the shuttle comes to pick us up to go to the show, which was, we didn't, you know, we're in Oklahoma, we don't know how far away it is.
Oh, so no, I remember.
We hadn't changed, we had all of our stuff with us, everything. The shuttle, we were supposed to get to Rocklahoma a couple hours early so we could do sound check and change and all this, right? The shuttle gets lost. And this was total Spinal Tap. We were driving around for 3.5 hours with no air conditioning, the middle of summer in Oklahoma, so humid, lost. It could not find the Rocklahoma. We get there just in time to walk up on stage and do like a 30-second sound check, and then they go, okay, you're on. We didn't even leave the stage. We did our 30-second sound check and just played. So that kind of sucked.
Stressful.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. Now, where all, besides Facebook, and do you have, like, they can find you on Twitter, Reverb Nation, on the .com website?
Yeah, it's electrobaracos.com. Twitter, all of it, Elektra Baracos, Facebook, Elektra Baracos. Let me spell it, too. Elektra, B as in boy, Arakos. And what else? YouTube, my YouTube channel, ECB Music. However, they can always just search Electra Problem Child and to find the official music video, which I'm trying to get out there to as many people around the world as possible. Yeah, we're almost at 4,000 views, so that's not bad. Just trying to get
19 days.
Some more. Yeah, make
wow.
it safe. 4,000 views in 18 days, so I guess that's pretty good. What else? The iTunes, of course, they can find the EP on iTunes, although we are going into the studio this summer to record the full album, so that should be, that's going to be quite exciting. What else? I think that's it. Oh, and MySpace, but does that even exist anymore?
there's not many of us. I'm also on MySpace, but
I'm still on there. But I never go.
I got everything set up, so when I'm getting ready to do my show or advertising for an interview, everything that I do on Facebook, it ends up on MySpace.
Yeah.
At some point, either I end up putting it on there, or my PR rep ends up putting it on there. I'm really bad about going to MySpace. MySpace, it has become so slow.
Oh,
that,
my God. It's crazy.
I mean, they were smart. They take it back to the 2.0 like it was a year ago and leave it there, because a lot of people in the music world are sick of it because of everything that they did to the site or to the web pages, and there were a lot of us like you guys that spent hours building a kick-ass layout, and that especially the hard-coded layouts and that, and then this new MySpace comes out and you can't use it, and it's like, oh my God.
It's gone, yeah. Everything that you had, all your videos that I've had in there are gone. I don't even know where they're at, and it's horrible. But main problem is the slowness, you know? It's so slow. It's really bad.
Well, that was truly the place to go for us DJs to contact you artists and that to go through your MySpace and that, because we catch you on there,
right.
Because, you know, it just made our job reaching out to you, the artists, made it easier and faster, and it also made it easy for you, the artist, to reach out to the individual show hosts that had been seeking you and whatnot. Now, I had scheduled an interview that actually never ended up happening with Lita, and I really need to get back on that and try and hook up with her about it again, because I'd like to get her on the show yet in 2011. I don't know if that's going to happen, but because she's like super busy with kids and career, in that it's almost impossible to try and tackle her down for 15 minutes for an interview.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you guys so much.
Thank you.
And Mickey, once again, that gig is Friday night at the Canyon Club.
I go on at 8 o'clock. Canyon Club is in Agoura Hills. And opening for Lita Ford, and hunt me down for tickets if anybody needs any. Again, that's Electra Baracos on Facebook, Reverb Nation, all the goods out there. And whoever does come, I hope they stay around to say hello to me so I can meet everybody in person.
Well, if you get close enough to Wisconsin, I'll definitely do what I can to get my sound man and myself to the show so that we can hook up and maybe do a live video interview.
Yeah, that would be awesome. We talked about that a lot the other night, so I would love to. You were telling me how small your town is, but, man, let's get the whole town down there.
there's two types of people out here in a town of 7,000. There's the country bumpkins, and then there's the other, and that's pretty much about it. I've been trying to get a rock fest out here for 2 years, and the city and county are both saying, nope, not happening. We're a country area. We're going to stay that way. And we're like, oh, boo-hoo, you know, expand your mind. You know, minds are like parachutes. Yeah. They only function when they're open.
Exactly. That's a good one. I like that. That sucks. Well, it's okay. Like I said, we'll find some place very close to you, at least, to come
all
down
right.
And play.
Yeah, I'll work on that, and we'll be getting it. We'll be in touch. I'll get this. Probably, I'm not going to get this podcast till Thursday because I've got two shows tomorrow.
Oh, cool.
And that I might be able to get it up on Podomatic, and that I will definitely get it to you in an email today sometime. But definitely want to thank you on so much, such a short notice to...
I'm telling you, short notices sometimes work better. So this was awesome. I want to thank you, actually, for really all the help that you've done promoting me and putting all my stuff up on your site and for having me on your show. This has been fun. This has been a fun little beginning of my day. So I love it. And thank you once again for everything.
You're very welcome.
Having me as your third female on the show, or fourth? Third or fourth?
You are the third.
Third. Amazing. I've made it.
Yes, you have. Now, we've got coming up, because you are opening for Lita, I've got a couple of tracks. We're going to go off the Stiletto CD with Only Women Bleed and going back to Lita's harder days, back to the Lita CD. We've got Blueberry coming up as well as Angel Rocket and several others. So stay tuned. Keep it locked. We're going to rock. We're going to roll. PowerhouseMix.net.